Alright, yeah, I debated doing this and now I know why. Well, I had
do you think people are afraid to call in? Maybe it has nothing necessarily to do with the topic. With whether people are interested. I think it has to do with people not wanting to talk about it.
Yeah, I had a number of people say to me, "Wow, that's brave." So maybe that was my clue right there. So this is what we're doing right now. Phone lines are open for you. After 29 years of marriage, my wife and I separated last year. And just, can I just say that even saying that on air, there's a shame associated with that because there's failure, because it's part of the tribal thing of you just, you know what else it does? It reveals how judgmental I have been for people whose marriages have tanked.
Right.
That's really what's flushing out of me because, no, really, because
sorry, I was just thinking of other things flushing.
I know you were.
Yeah.
Because I know as I look back over the times that people have told me that, oh, yeah, we're not together anymore, we've divorced, we've separated, I can think back and go, man, I just got all judgy on that. And so, of course, when I announce it, I fear the judgment of others. I don't fear it, but I sense it. I feel it, I guess. Maybe a better way to say it, especially when someone's texting while I'm sharing my guts to them.
I'm listening, Drew Marshall. I'm engaged.
We're both fours. You should be a little more aware
yes,
of this.
I know.
Who were you texting? What was more important?
They're opening up the cottage and there's problems with the water.
There's problems with the water right here.
Yes, I know. Because you're flushing stuff out.
Yeah.
No, I know it's – I've known about your situation for a while now and you were very private about it and made sure that I was as well. So I just know how hard it is to talk about it, and respect that, man.
The first 6 months, every time I talked about it, I sobbed. Every stinking time.
Right.
And it was just – I remember a guy from baseball. I met him at Barth's Dry Cleaning in Orangeville.
Oh, I remember that place. Saturday's McDonald's and Laundry at Teen Ranch.
Yep. Yeah. And I – he said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he says, "Well, I heard blah blah blah." And it was the day that I had the truck packed and I was moving to the cottage.
Right.
The day.
Wow.
And I just went to explain it to him, and I just went. It was like Fonzie saying sorry. Anyway, lost my mind, and I just felt bad for the guy because he's like, this is awkward.
How about those J's?
Yeah.
But. Are you dealing with it better now?
Well, I'm not sobbing right now, so yeah. Well, but the other thing is, listen, so you know what? Maybe I should just go through it, even if it was just for recording for my own purposes and put it down for posterity's sake. But let me just say this. I want to admit the role that I played in the demise of my marriage. And I just thought I would open it up to our listeners to see if you wanted to maybe call in and admit to the role you played in the demise of your relationship. The number is 877-569-1250, 877-569-1250. Phone lines are open for you. And in the meantime, I'm going to rattle on about my crap. I went on the Camino, went on the big pilgrimage, the big walk, because I had numerous fractured relationships in my life, and I did it within a 3-month vow of silence because I knew there were cracks in my soul and I needed to shut up so I could hear the leaks. Hmm. And I came back. And after 3 months of being silent, the first word – did I say what my first words were on air?
I don't know if you ever did.
Well, a lot of people have asked. So Christmas morning, I spoke again, and I asked my wife to remarry me again. And wow.
It's coming. We're there for you, buddy.
Shut up. I remember I was sitting in a monastery off the coast of – Western Sahara, off the coast of Africa, and I was like, "What? I wonder what my first words are going to be." And then I woke up, as so often happens, in the middle of the night, just bing, and I went, "Oh, I want to ask her to remarry me again." So she said yes, and then a couple of months later, I said, "Wow, you're really not into this, are you?"
Is that how you said it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She said no. So. And then And then I can look back on it now with it, because it got dark over that winter, man. I mean, I moved to the cottage and I romanticized what living alone as a man at the cottage with my dog and chopping wood and swirling my brandy at the end of the night, you know, that whole kind of goofy thing. And it got dark. I mean, it got wintry dark.
Yeah.
The sun was going down earlier, but it got dark. It got really dark, me being up there by myself. And situations changed at home. She moved out and moved into place, so I moved in back to the house. I had to go back to the house. And then just kind of hung on until January, and a switch went off in January. I don't know if I fully understand it yet, but I just kind of said, well, there were a few things. You know what? I went to this thing called the Landmark Forum, which was a weekend seminar. I called it How to Be Less of a Butthole Seminar.
Right.
And boy, did I need to sign up for that. And it was interesting. These seminars... it turns out that they pick one person in a crowd of about 250, the seminar leader, and they wail on this person. Guess who that person turned out to be?
You?
And I think it had something to do with the fact. So you have these seminars. It's a long day. You have a break, and then you come back. And I was coming back, and then the lady that was up at the front doing a thing, and she, and people share. They go up to the mic at the front and share.
Right.
And I happen to be sitting near the front because I have to sit at the front. Otherwise, I'm not paying attention.
Yes.
So I walked past the mic, and just as I walked past the microphone, she says, all right, who wants to share? And I looked over at her, and she went, okay, how about you, Drew? Like, ah, crap, okay. All right, fine.
She already knew your name? Or did you have a big name tag?
I had a name tag on. Oh, okay. So, yeah, I don't think – anyway, and I started going into, you know, explaining some stuff. And immediately the crowd won the crowd over. You could hear the, crowd, right?
Yeah.
But she snapped on the crowd and went, don't do that. That's exactly what he wants. That's the game he's playing. This guy wants to be the victim. And she crucified me. I mean, I'm up there, again, sobbing, leaking like a baby's diaper.
Yes.
And it was just like, but then afterwards, hold on. Then she said something like, I made a crack about it. I said to the crowd, no, she's right. I said, because she snapped at them. I said, no, she's right. I mean, I called her, Dr. Philomena here is right. Which I thought was cute and funny. Yeah. And she went, oh, you're not teachable. Sit down.
Oh.
So you're hiding behind your humor.
Yeah.
Shut up.
It's what I do.
So then the crowd afterwards during the break, I had all these people coming up to me, and I had three different reactions. Let's see if I can remember these guys. I haven't talked about this in a while. One of them was, oh, dude, are you okay?
Okay, right.
Because she annihilated you.
Right.
Another response was, wow, I'm glad that you shared what you shared because I've never seen my own father in the way that you were able to present yourself up there with that kind of vulnerability and that sort of thing. You helped me see the relationship I have with my dad in a very different way. So right. That was... I'm glad I could be the sacrificial pig for your
yes.
healing relationship with your dad. And then the third thing was happened the next day. I came back the next day, and people, I had like so many people come up to me and go, you came back? What are you, nuts? Anyway, there was a lot of things that happened. And I really got smacked around with the victim word.
Did you connect with this Dr. Philomena after?
Oh, or? No. I didn't want a thing to do with her.
All right.
No, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of her, but I certainly got, I, you know.
But I mean, you didn't get a chance to, like, you know, decompress or, you know, whatever. No. Okay.
No, you do that with the peeps in the group.
Yeah. All right.
So I did all that. And then the Enneagram has been a really, really helpful thing because, again, my personality type, number four in the Enneagram, individualist, is so easy. They're all really good at playing victim. Oh, poor me. And you know, and I'm so busy trying to be authentic that I slip into, well, why can't you be authentic? And I can be authentic, and I'm blah, 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 blah. And we're freaking drama people, man. So what's happening now is I'm able to go, instead of go, Drew, you're such an idiot, I now go, Drew, you're such a four. And that slight change has helped me lighten up on myself hugely. So shutting up, walking in the Camino, doing the Landmark thing, working the Enneagram stuff has helped me take it easy on myself, and I can now look in the mirror and go, you've got something to offer.
What's that yoga term you were using earlier today?
Non-judgmental compassionate self-awareness.
Now, is that something that jumped out at you? Someone told you about it? Or it's all that you've done and someone said that word and you go, okay, that makes sense. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I learned that with the yoga people.
All right. With the man bun. Downward dogging?
With the man bun peeps.
And the patchouli.
My Lulu ladies.
Yes.
So, anyway, all of that is, boy, you can't have the kind of year that I had and not come at the, you know, the other side of it and go, huh.
Yeah.
That's
now,
it.
Yeah.
That's all, huh?
Well, what about other relationships? Because obviously, you know, those of us.
I'm not allowed to speak at the other about the other fractured relationship.
Okay. I was just going to say, though, you know, oftentimes it's the quote unquote romantic relationships that we focus on. And that's understandable in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, are there other relationships that have to be looked at? And I mean that as a general thing. I'm not asking you specifics. Have you found that is something as well?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kind of like a 12-step program when you start to realize the mistakes you've made.
And oh, yeah.
You have to,
oh,
and,
dude.
And it goes beyond your relationship right now with your ex to other things. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. I have made so many phone calls and emails and contacts going, can I just apologize for being a jerk? I mean, that's been a long litany of...
How are people reacting to that?
Oh, yeah, you were a jerk.
Are they accepting your apology, or they're just like, yeah, thank you, bye-bye?
Different people, different people react differently to that kind of stuff, right? So, it's been interesting, but anyway, there was a comment that I saw in here, and I can't even find it anymore. Where is it? Somebody posted something on the Facebook. Need my kids to get into this. Kids, where is it here?
They're called interns.
What are they?
Interns.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you vaguely remember what the question is about?
No, that's one of them. I saw that one anyway. This is from our friend in Australia, Brett Clark. Brett. Has anyone else noticed how all the examples are about how deficient the men are in the relationship? Just another therapist telling us how bad men are. I didn't get that from her.
No, I didn't get that either. She was very clear that it's a two-way street. That, you know, if the woman's not contributing, like, for example, with the military, and I know women get PTSD as well, but, you know, if the women are unable to communicate with the men and vice versa, then, you know, we're both at fault. So I didn't necessarily get that from her talk.
Right. I just remembered where this thing came in. It was through an email. So
all right.
This is from someone named Terry. My part in my marriage breakdown, that's a tough one. This will likely not make much sense. It was harder than I thought it would be. Really, it came down to a very naive young woman who thought that being married to someone she loved deeply and having a couple of kids and a dog and a home would live happily ever after. The marriage lasted 27 years, and it was a 32-year relationship, which began when I was 18 and ended when I was 50. Something about that 50 thing, eh?
Yeah, that's me this year.
Jeez, good luck. I had no understanding of the brokenness I was carrying from small hurts in my childhood. By the way, this is someone who wrote in, just reading this. I had no trauma and grew up in a loving middle-class home. I thought it was very stable. Compared to most people, I am very stable. But I never considered I might have some characteristics that needed to be changed and modified. I was not worldly, and though I knew my husband came from an alcoholic home, I believed we married and were separated. If we married and were separated from them, the family, we'd be fine. Not facing the hurts, however large or small they are, left me open to look to my husband to fill in the parts that were damaged. This is all subconscious, though. I also had no boundaries because I was very insecure. I believed I wasn't enough, but acted very differently. I was extremely sarcastic. Yeah, it's a love language I can understand.
Yeah, right.
I was extremely sarcastic, which unfortunately made people laugh and made me feel accepted.
Hmm.
I was convinced that I knew the best way, and if only everybody would just listen to me, everything would be fine. So I was controlling to a point because I was afraid. I needed good counseling to help me see my areas of need. It's only been the last 2 years that I began to look at helping myself heal. We had financial difficulties, and our And in our eldest son's late teens and early 20s, became aware of his drug and alcohol addictions. Mm. Yeesh. So instead of communicating, I chose to ignore it and hoped it would go away. That whole carpet sweeping stuff.
Yep.
Not a real helpful
thing.
Never really discussed it with my ex. Financial and adult child issues that were not openly discussed and faced were huge. Lack of communication and not seeking the appropriate help were part of the failure. I contributed to the finances to some degree. I did not take the appropriate action where my son was concerned. I couldn't have stopped him. This is a full-on confession.
Wow, yes.
This is actually quite vulnerable. I couldn't have stopped him, but I had various sources of help available, like Al-Anon, counseling, etc. I believe I let embarrassment and fear make my decisions.
Hmm.
Boy, do we all do that.
Yeah.
Fear is huge. I had the friends to support me, but let the fear of being thought of as a bad parent and having a divorce, you know, so a failed marriage, be kept from seeking, kept me from seeking help. As I write this out, I see so much more. See, this is why I want people to consider the role they have played in their own broken relationships. Because we all, it's just low-hanging fruit. We point to the other person.
Yep.
Even as I share the story, I have had to modify how I've shared the end of my marriage. Because I used to say, well, she decided she didn't want to be married anymore. And I would just kind of, just, you know, emphasize that and not share my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can say, well, she did make that decision. But, man, if I was married to me, I would have made that decision too.
Yeah, but once again, I think it's important that you find the balance there that, you know, sure, you might be a bit of a jerk. But if the other person isn't as healthy either, it is a two-way street. I mean, traffic may be going, you know, more in one direction than the other, but it is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of two-way street,
all right.
This person goes on to say, as I write this out, I see so much more. Having no boundaries is two-sided. I didn't say no to things and people I should have. I didn't say no to things and people I should have, and I also accepted responsibility for things and people's actions that were never mine.
Hmm.
This eventually led me to being very bitter and very unpleasant to live with. See, that's authenticity is when you can admit when you've been inauthentic.
Okay.
Vulnerability is when you could admit when you've been a jerk. I don't know what I'm saying. Should have thought that through a little better. There was also menopause, which just compounds all that. Man, this is complicated stuff, Drew. So my part? Unrealistic expectations, not knowing myself, poor communication skills, letting fear keep me from seeking proper help, support groups and counseling, lack of understanding of the damage other people have endured, poor money management skills, and I'm working on the sarcasm. That sarcasm thing is, that's been a two-edged sword for me, man, because I'm a rock star with that stuff, and I can get people laughing and joking and self-deprecation as well and whatever else. But when it misses, it's like the bomb goes off in the room, man. And you don't even know people have been wrecked by your attempt just to be funny, and they're going home crying, or they're like really hurt because you've said something that you just thought, that's funny.
No, I do it all the time. I'm a teacher. But I think, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, the old adage that, you know, comics are usually the saddest people in the room. I mean, you and I both.
Oh, we're Robin hilarious.
Yeah, no, both yeah. of us know, you know, Robin Williams, his loss, 4 years old, apparently, 4 years ago. He was a very hurt and broken guy.
Yeah.
Early in his life with addiction and problems with relationships. And then towards the end, he seemed to finally get his life together. And then he got nailed with that Lewy body disorder thing in it, really. He was
affected. No, I remember. Yeah. Well, what's it called? The Lewy body disorder?
Yeah, I have to look that up.
Who's that named after? Lou Frigno?
No.
you just get little swellings all over the place? All right. For the last few minutes of the show, we're going to open up the phone lines. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Dee.
Hello, Dee. How are you?
Good, thank you. I wanted to let you know that what you did today was so awesome. It really was.
What did I do today? Walk around naked?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the verbal confessional. It was awesome. It really was, right? Your guest was awesome, too. I'm going to look up her book.
How good was she, eh? Dr. Sue Johnson.
Whew. Yeah, amazing, amazing. And I'm going to get the Christian version, right? Because
You have to? Is that the rule?
Well, no, I just want to, right? Okay. You know, but just in, like, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I'm going to anyways, because okay. You always say stuff that you shouldn't say.
Stop it! Why you got to be like that?
it was actually a relief to hear you talk about it today, because I think your regular listeners, the ones who are a little more perceptive and can read between the lines, mm-hmm. I think knew for a while that there were problems, right? Because you can't hold anything in, Drew. Okay, so you were letting little hints slip out along the way, and it was kind of frustrating not to have you address it, and you did that today.
Right.
And I think you were a help to a lot of people.
So I shouldn't be off the air on a Christian radio station?
No.
Okay.
No, you should not. Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. So there's no judgment from this corner, okay? There's just a huge round of applause.
Thanks, Dee. I appreciate that, because it was getting kind of cold out here. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, it was. It was breaking my heart. That's why I'm telling you, people are out doing things this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No,
so
you don't have a life.
It fell on me. Yeah. It fell on me to boost you up, okay?
Well, no, but I wasn't looking for the boost. Please don't. I don't. I just no. want, you know what? The thing
accept
is,
it, Drew.
I want
accept peop- it.
Stop it. I okay. want people to own their own stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
We all blame everybody for everything. Stop
true.
It.
It's true.
And I'm saying that to Amir.
I'll sign up for your as the first member of your Own It Club, okay?
Love it. Thank you. All you right. go, girl.
Okay.
Thanks, Dee.
Bye, Dee.
Bye. Bye. Oh, she said Dee. Dee and Dee. Get it?
Oh, yeah.
Are we out of time or something?
Well, yeah, you're going to have to make up some stuff next week. But
okay,
we've got about two minutes left.
Let's take this last caller. All right. Take this last caller. Right to air, please. Right to air. Hi, who's this? Hi, what's your name?
Hi, Stacy.
What is it, Stacy?
Yeah.
Stacy, yeah.
Hi, Stacy. Why are you calling, Stacy?
I just want to say thank you for being so authentic. It's missing in today, so it's awesome.
Oh, well, thanks. Now, unfortunately, it just feels like I cried about it. Now people are going, it's okay, Drew, and patting me in the head. Sir.
No, I'm saying thanks because it lets other people be real and be okay to be who they are. You're managing. You're in a place of people look up to you and listen to you and intentionally
that's important.
Go to visit your radio station, hear what you have to say. So it's awesome to hear you be authentic and give them permission to be authentic too. So that's all.
Thanks. That is a goal of mine. I think we all need to stink a little more of authenticity and grace. and I could just got to be better at all. Hey, listen, thank you for calling. Where are you calling from? You're on the move. Where are you?
I'm in Brampton.
Okay. Oh, wow. Everyone's in Brampton.
Yeah, that's where all the religious people are.
Yeah. Yeah. Says it was good. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Have a great. It's long weekend, isn't it?
It is.
Have a nice long weekend.
Says it is. You too. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye. Bye now.
Bye.
Those are nice people. Those are three nice people in a row. Maybe I should open the phone lines more often.
What's wrong with the show?
All right. We're done.